player and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As snow and gusty winds moved in, a wall of snow and debris came rushing downhill near the Palisades Tahoe Ski Resort. CBS News Sacramento's Andrew Hobner with more.
This is a very sad day.
First responders scrambled to search for victims buried in the snow after an avalanche struck a ski resort near Lake Tahoe in the Sierra Nevada.
One male has passed away as a result of the avalanche.
It happened around 9:30 a.m. local time at Palisades Tahoe, just as an early group of skiers started to head down the mountain.
I saw it when I was going up the chair, and then as I came around, anybody that was off the chair, we just all got asked to help and start probing.
An announcement from Chris Christie in the GOP race for the White House.
It's clear to me tonight that there isn't a path for me to win the nomination.
So Christie has dropped out, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
He had been reluctant to make this move and had said even as earlier as yesterday that he had no intention of leaving the race and endorsing somebody else if they're not being as forcefully critical of former President Trump. But ultimately, he concluded what polling has begun to show, which is that while he may have found favor early on, he is fading towards the back of the pack in New Hampshire.
Christie was also caught on a hot microphone saying that Republican candidate Nikki Haley is, quote, going to get smoked, and that Ron DeSantis called him petrified that he was about to endorse Haley. Haley and DeSantis are taking part in a one-on-one debate in Iowa tonight. While New York City didn't bear the brunt of yesterday's storm, the high winds took down trees and caused some power outages across the five boroughs. A large tree fell outside of this woman's home on Staten Island.
What could you do? It's the way of the world. It strikes it. This time I was unlucky, it was me.
Portions of New Jersey and Connecticut have been hit with flooding. South Africa has a genocide case against Israel, and both sides will take the stand before the International Court of Justice in a case that could shape the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. CBS's Lauren Comito from The Hague.
South Africa has accused Israel of breaching its obligations under the Genocide Convention, established after the Holocaust. Pretoria says that Israel's killing of more than 20,000 Palestinians, denying them food and water, and comments by Israeli officials show genocidal intent. This week's hearings won't determine if genocide is being committed, but rather if there is enough evidence for the court to order Israel to stop its bombing campaign.
Israel and the U.S. say the case is meritless. A federal judge rules that Alabama can perform an execution later this month using nitrogen gas, a first in the world. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehope. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of conservatives in Racine County are launching a recall campaign against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Matthew Snorick of Union Grove filed the paperwork on Wednesday. He says that Voss is blocking fair elections in Wisconsin by not moving to impeach the state's top election administrator, Megan Wolf. In a statement, Voss called the recall a waste of time, resources, and effort. The Wisconsin legislature will have new political boundaries this year after December's state Supreme Court ruling. Governor Evers says it's a big step towards a more fair and functional legislature.
We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Nate Wiggehope, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin travels to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's basketball, the number 15th ranked Badgers take on the Buckeyes tonight in Columbus. Number 11th ranked Marquette is at home tonight. They're going to host the Butler Bulldogs. NFL, the Packers at practice preparing for Dallas. Jordan Love with two touchdowns against Chicago threw a rocket to receiver Dontavian Wicks right in the belly at the goal line. I asked him, did he know that Love had a fastball?
Yeah, he got it. I guess he seen it open fast. All I just seen was his arm.
and the ball was on me. So, you know, he put it there. Had my stomach hurting a little bit, you know. But, you know, he made a play, you know, and that's our job to make plays for him.
And for the second year in a row, Mike McCarthy will face his old team. The Cowboys head coach said this time, no more questions about his days in Green Bay.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, the drama of it, I'm sure you guys will love. I will not participate this year. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter who we play, to be honest with you.
That's Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a cloudy sky overnight, and lows in the low 20s. Temps steady in the 20s for tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. It's 28 degrees right now.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. All right. It's great to be back. Yesterday, we had to take a snow day, which is ironic because Monday, our question of the night was, we knew we were going to get snow here in Wisconsin, all over the state. Our question was, what do you do? What's the best thing to do during a snow day? Thinking, you know, grown-ups don't take snow days. They still go to work, but we got snowed in. So it's great to be back on this beautiful Wednesday night, broadcasting statewide from beautiful City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay from our WGBW studios. Thank you for being with me tonight on this Wednesday. January 10th. It's already January 10th. That's exciting. That's kind of exciting. Just every day now. After the holidays, every day that goes by just brings you closer to warmth and longer daylight. And we're supposed to get hit again with snow on Friday. We might have to have Brittany Merlot back to give us another rundown. Conrad?
Yep.
Can you take a memo?
I got like 4 pages already full of memos? Memos. Yeah, already.
I give you that many memos? I'm difficult. I had no idea. So we'll have to talk about that. Maybe we'll have Brittany on again tomorrow night. She can tell us what is going on. This is supposed to be an El Nino year. And we got, you know, it wasn't as bad as we thought yesterday, but Friday's supposed to be like 12 to 13 inches of snow. And I hold Brittany personally responsible for that. And I don't like it that she probably loves that because she loves snow. But anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. Got some fun stuff planned tonight. Got some really fun guests tonight on Nightlight. Coming up in a few minutes at 8, just after the bottom of the hour, Victoria Houston. She is a Northwoods, Wisconsin author. She writes murder mystery novels from her home in northern Wisconsin. And I noticed there were other authors that live up there that write murder mysteries. So I'll ask Victoria, in addition to all the stuff about the book she writes, why is northern Wisconsin so conducive to mystery writers? She's going to be along shortly. I'm excited to talk to her. Mike Clemens will be here at 9 o'clock. He's got some fun Aaron Rodgers stuff for us and a Packer update. And then a very good friend of mine and an excellent comedian who hosts one of the most popular podcasts out there called Never Not Funny will be along at 9:30 to help me close up the show. Very excited to talk to Jimmy Pardo. And so that will be fun. We got great guests, got some fun little segments for you tonight. Taking your calls and texts, as always, is Conrad with a K.
Yes.
He is back there. Are you ready to go, buddy?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, because they're going to come flying in. We got texts last night. We had to run a best of show last night because we got snowed in, and we got texts last night when we weren't even here. So that's kind of cool. We'll read those too, because I appreciate people going the extra mile even when we're not here or doing a best of show. So, yeah, lots of good stuff. And today we got some fun birthdays. Rod Stewart turned 79 today. George Foreman is 75. And Pat Benatar, 71. Two singers and a boxer celebrating their birthdays today. George Foreman has become one of my favorite people. Just like when I was a kid growing up and when boxing was still a thing, not MMA yet, I loved watching George Foreman box. He was so huge and just packed such a punch. He was like my favorite boxer to watch. And I knew nothing about boxing. Then he kind of like comes back on the scene and he's like, if you ever read stories about George Foreman, they're fascinating. He had a very tough upbringing, very poor, was getting into fights, supposedly was beating up 17-year-olds when he was 12 if he got picked on because he was that big of a guy. So the fact that he comes out, I think it was in the early 90s, late 80s, has a kind of a transformation. And he's just like the most likable character. He has five sons all named George. I don't get that. But he's always laughing. Then he created the George Foreman Grill, which I own one, I'm happy to say. So just a really likable dude. Love George Foreman. 75 years old. And wouldn't surprise me if he was going to get back into the ring because he had trouble hanging it up there for a while. Not only was he boxing in his 50s, he was winning. So there you go. So he turned 75 today. Rod Stewart is 79. Pat Benatar, 71. The Sopranos TV show was released on this day in 1999. And we'll play a little Sopranos trivia here with Conrad. You like the show, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, you had no trouble like talking about it early, so I thought, well, let's see how good your knowledge is of the Sopranos. And also, I found this on I think it was a website called Weekly Herald. Yeah, Herald Weekly. Sorry, HeraldWeekly.com. The worst actors. So we're gonna talk about that. I disagree with it. You could write down anything now and people will just go, oh yeah. But Chuck Norris is on here. Okay. Chuck Norris's films aren't great, but within that realm, he's not a terrible actor. If you made him do Shakespeare. Yeah, sure. Probably not that good. And then here's some of the other people they put on here. Tom Green, who made movies like Freddy Got Fingered, Total Frat Movie, and Grind. He's on the list as one of the worst actors ever. And maybe he is. I've never seen a Tom Green movie. And I can't say it's on my bucket list. He was very popular, though, for a while. He had a big-time TV show on MTV. Lindsay Lohan is on that list. I don't think Lindsay Lohan's a bad actor. And I don't think you can confuse bad acting with bad material. Sometimes the script is so bad, I don't care how good of an actor you are, it doesn't make up for it. And even directors, they call it turd polishing. You can add some snazzy camera angles and cool music and that. You can fool people for a little bit with directing maybe, but a bad script, you're not getting around that. So Lindsay Lohan. Sharon Stone is on the list. I do not get that. I think Sharon Stone's a really good actress. Sofia Coppola is on the list. She is not a good actress. She's a great director. She did a movie called Lost in Translation that was Oscar nominated. Bill Murray played the lead and was brilliant. But Sofia Coppola is not, she's considered Godfather 3. There's a scene where, I don't think I'm spoiling this for anybody. Al Pacino, the Don, is standing there and Sofia Coppola gets shot and in her best California accent, looks at Al Pacino and goes, Dad, and then goes down. It's pretty bad acting, but a very good director. And she should be good at something like that. It's in her genes. I mean, talk about nepotism, right? Josh Hartnett is on the list. I don't think Josh Hartnett's a bad actor. Pretty decent. Made a couple bad movies. Elizabeth Hurley is on the list as one of the worst actresses. And she's not great, but come on. Worst? She did Showgirls, and she was on, I think, was it Saved by the Bell? Conrad, did you watch Saved by the Bell?
No, I did not.
Take a memo. You should watch that show.
Okay.
Add that to your memos. who is your least favorite actor, Conrad?
It would have to be Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. All right. Oh, yes, of course. All right. I know we still have that clip. We're going to play that. Mine? Steven Seagal. He did this show on, it was A&E, where he was like training cops. He's a movie star. And I know he's trained in martial arts and all that kind of stuff. But he's telling these guys how to do police work. And like, he's the guy they look up to when they're on the streets of New Orleans. He's talking real street. Like, they'll leave the precinct and they'll go, "Let's roll." Like, whoa, where did that accent come from? And that was kind of a reality show. That's just bad. That's just bad camera presence. But Steven Seagal, probably one of my least favorite actors. And that leads us to tonight's question. Who is the worst actor you've ever seen? Please share this with us. I love reading this kind of stuff. Who is the worst actor you've ever seen? And if you just want to zone in on one performance or hone in on one performance, that's fine. Tell us who you thought was really bad in something or just who your least favorite actor or actress is. You can text or call. As I mentioned, Conrad is ready to go, man. He's ready to roll. 920-264-0606. He will field your texts and calls. 920-264-0606. I watched Anatomy of a Fall. I've been hearing a lot about this movie. I don't know what you guys are watching. As you know, you're always welcome to tell me what you're watching or what you just saw. Join the conversation. This is an open dialogue here about what we're watching and all things show business. I love hearing what people are watching. So, and I'm always, look, as much as I've been in show business my entire adult life, I'm a fan just like you. I love getting recommendations. I haven't seen everything, obviously. So I love getting suggestions, but I did watch on everybody's favorite movie list, or at least critics, the film Anatomy of a Fall is on many of them. And it's kind of a courtroom drama, or there's that element to it. A woman's husband, they find him dead on the ground, and it's about the trial. She's a suspect, and Ben Reiser, who is the operations manager of the Wisconsin Film Festival and books films, really good films, one of the bookers for UW Cinematheque, was on. He's very savvy, as is his partner, Jim Healy. And he was telling me that he loved that movie because there was no huge twist at the end, like so many of these courtroom dramas have. So several people that recommended the movie really liked it. I watched it. I got to tell you, I don't get it. It was fine. It was a good movie, but it's so bizarre around this time of year. Films gain steam. It's like a snowball effect. And all of a sudden, this is the movie you got to see. And I watched it and I'm going, okay. And it was 2.5 hours long. That would have helped. They trimmed 30 minutes. So I can't fully recommend it, but it wasn't like it was bad. So it's not like I wouldn't recommend it. I just think there are a lot of other great films out there. Have you seen Barbie? Have you seen Oppenheimer? Poor Things. There's a lot of good films. I have not seen Poor Things yet. And I tried to rent Killers of the Flower Moon last night. I thought you could rent it. They still want you to buy it for $20. And I balked at that. Conrad, I didn't want to pay the $20. And why? Like, I go to the theater, I'm going to pay $12. I'm going to get a Coke, and that's $20 right there. I don't know why, but there's some moral principle when I'm sitting in my home, I can't pay $20 to watch a movie. So, all right. As I mentioned, Victoria Houston, North Woods, Wisconsin author, will be here shortly. Mike Clemens and Jimmy Pardo, a really fun show tonight. We're talking bad acting. Who's the worst actor or actress you've ever seen? Let us know, 920-264-0606. Or you can text us off the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. You just click text and boom, you're all set. So I'd love to hear what you guys think of that. And then, you know, I think when we come back, I'm going to give him a quick Sopranos trivia test. And we'll hear Russell Wilson's bad acting and some stand-up comedy from Jimmy Pardo, who is my guest at 9:30. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Is that, what song is that?
Have You Seen the Rain?
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Is that the one that starts, there's a, got myself, how does it go? There's a line in there that sounds like, got myself a Toblerone. Just a big candy thing you get. Okay, so we heard some Rod Stewart. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Rod Stewart. He's not returning our calls. What kind of message you getting there, Conrad, when you called to try to get Rod Stewart?
It says don't call here. You don't have his number.
Ever. Okay, good. All right, fair enough. Thanks for your honesty. So today, The Sopranos was... you know what? Let's do this first. Here, coming up at 9:30, a good friend of mine, very excited to have this guy on the show. He's got one of the most popular podcasts out there called Never Not Funny. It's always fun to be on the podcast. And I did stand-up with this guy in the 90s, and we hung around when we lived in L.A. together. It was just great. He's a terrific guy and a great comic. Let's play. His crowd work is what makes him. He has great jokes, too. But this is a clip from Jimmy Pardo. Go ahead, Conrad.
All right, you guys are on a great night. I've done my best to just talk. The rest of the performers probably have brought something to the table. They're probably not going to phone it in. And I'm going to go home, probably going to put something on the stove. And then come on back, introduce the next act, go back, give it a little stir, and then come on back. I'm going to... probably should just buy a crock pot. That's probably what I should do. I probably, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, pardon me, if I'm not back and by the end of the next act, I'm tied up at Target. I'm going to go and run. I'm going to swing over to Target. I'm going to get myself a crock pot. And then I'm going to bring that home. Okay, so that's step one. Then the next act, and I'm going to go home and actually put the stuff in there. Then, listen, we know what I'm doing. We don't need me to, because none of this is happening. Why am I going into this much detail over something that is not? I wish, God, I would do it, to be honest with you. I wish in reality, God, that's offensive to even atheists, what I just said. That was, clean it up. It's a nice, respectful studio. Masquerading as a comedy club. I love it. A minute from here, there's my favorite club in the country. Somehow I've avoided this place. I don't know what that whistle is. I don't like it. Nothing in my act requires whistling. I can guarantee that. Nothing in my show. You laugh or don't laugh. Those are your choices. I prefer you sit there quietly than go into a hillbilly whistle. It's awful. What did you think you were watching? I'm going to whistle right now. Well, really? Why are you going to whistle? I'm enjoying myself. And I can't express myself like others, laughing and smiling. So I'm going to go hillbilly. I'm going to go a little hazy, a little fire in the mountain. Rumbo, run. I don't know how to run, son. Is that Charlie? Is that Daniels? Yeah.
That's Jimmy Pardo. He'll be along at 9:30. Don't whistle at him, whatever you do. He prefers laughter, clapping, and smiling. So, as I mentioned before, we're talking... our question of the night is, who is your least favorite actor? Who is the worst actor? You can let us know, as always, at 920-264-0606. Mine is Steven Seagal for many reasons. In fact, there's like, when I was researching this on YouTube, Steven Seagal bad acting clip, I got entire movies. People are just saying, watch him in this. He's terrible. And they put the whole movie on there. I couldn't even find a clip. So, but Conrad's least favorite actor is Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Fine quarterback. Not a very good actor. So we have a clip of Russell Wilson acting. Let's play that, Conrad.
Hey, you want to
with this Subway sandwich. It is my signature sandwich. It's called the Danger Witch. Oof. And it's dangerously good. Be careful, though. It's spicy.
You ever done anything dangerous? Jeez.
Watch this commercial. Dangerous.
I've done something like that, too. I won't tell anybody. Listen, one time... never mind. That's too dangerous. Anyways, my Danger Witch, it's only in the vault. That's our little secret.
I mean, that's just so bad. But it's bad. But you don't expect Russell Wilson to be a good actor. So I kind of put that on the people that cast him in the commercial or the director of the commercial. Don't let Russell Wilson riff. That's not what he does. He improvises on the field, not in front of the camera. So I don't put that on Russell Wilson. Unbelievable. So we got some texts here from the 920. This is Jim. Look at Bruce Campbell. He made a career out of making bad material look good. Oh, I don't disagree with that, Jim, but the material is campy. And Bruce does campy very well. That's kind of what he does. So I still don't think you can make bad material good unless you go completely off book. But I appreciate the text, and it's a good point. And thank you. Obviously, Jim gave that some thought. That's a great answer. And here again, Jim and Appleton. As a community theater guy, I forget most bad actors on the big screen. Okay. I applaud Jim for doing community theater. I love community theater. We have a great one in Marinette. Please keep doing that, Jim. And Conrad's mom, as always, chimes in. Paula. Paula and I are becoming fast friends, Conrad. How do you feel about that?
It's all right.
Is it weird? Right. Okay, good. We're just friends. She's happily married to your father. At least that's what she tells me every day when she calls me. Paula says Nicolas Cage. Conrad, do you agree with your mom?
I don't. I actually really enjoy Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he doesn't mail it in sometimes, but I think he's a good actor. But that's an interesting choice. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think he's been bad at times. Again, maybe from the bad material. And here, is this your dad, Conrad, Steve?
Yeah.
Steve Krieger. Okay. He calls me every day, too, by the way. I don't know what is going on in their relationship. Tell them I am not a therapist, please. Worst actor trying to make a remake of Space Jam. Thank you, Steve, from the 920. LeBron James, he is no Michael Jordan. I could not agree more. Great text. Keep them coming. 920-264-0606. Who's your least favorite actor? Who's the worst actor or actress you've ever seen? So we got time for a couple of Soprano trivia questions. So as I mentioned before, The Sopranos was released today in 1999. So it's a big day for TV. Conrad, you ready for a trivia question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What Goodfellas actor was the top choice to play Tony Soprano? Is it Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, or Ray Liotta?
Is it Ray Liotta?
It is.
Yeah.
Very nicely done. And interesting side note, Ray Liotta took a role in The Many Saints of Newark, which was a Sopranos prequel, which I thought was okay. Not great, but I liked it. The show was originally, okay, then they had another star, Anthony LaPaglia, who's a really good actor. It was supposed to be a show on Fox before HBO picked it up. Okay, Conrad, we got time for one more question here. Paulie's first name is, oh, that's not a question, never mind. Okay, Tony, AJ, and Junior all have the same middle name. Do you know what it is, Conrad?
I don't know.
It's pretty common.
John?
Yes, well done. The kid's unstoppable. Great job, Conrad. All right, when we come back, after a very short break, please stick with me. Victoria Houston, Wisconsin author, is here. She writes murder mysteries. I've got a ton of questions for her. You're going to love her books, and you're going to love the way she talks about her books. That's coming up in just a few minutes. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. One person is dead and another injured in a California avalanche near Lake Tahoe. Pacer County Sheriff spokesman Dave Smith.
At this point in time, all search efforts have concluded, and we have come to the conclusion
that there is nobody else up on the mountain.
Chris Christie has dropped out of the GOP presidential race before making his announcement at a New Hampshire event. Christie's mic was hot, and he was heard saying he spoke to fellow GOP presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis called me, petrified that I would...
He's probably getting out after Iowa. Well,
petrified that Christie might endorse Nikki Haley. A first in the world if it happens, a federal judge has ruled that Alabama can perform an execution later this month using nitrogen gas. Fordham University professor Deborah Denno says support for the new method is rooted in what she calls unscientific research.
There's literally no scientific or medical foundation for this method.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials are urging pregnant women to get vaccinated after 580 children in Wisconsin age 2 and younger have landed in the hospital with RSV. 3 of them died. New RSV vaccines are also recommended for adults 60 and older. They can be had at clinics and pharmacies. Doctors are urging people to get shots for flu and COVID, too. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Experts fear things will get worse as more rural areas get developed.
Roads, fences, development, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. The federal government is rolling out a pilot program. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a cloudy sky overnight, and lows in the low 20s. Temps steady in the 20s for tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. Currently, it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
93.5 The Tap.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with me on a Wednesday night. Or, as I like to call it, one of the 2 days between snowpocalypses. We'll see what Friday brings. We'll get Brittany Merlot on tomorrow night, and she can give us an update on that as well. But more snow on the way. We are talking about a lot of things, as we usually do, on Nightlight, including bad actors, Sopranos, which was released on this day in 1999. And the question of the night is, who is your least favorite actor? Who is the worst actor or actress you've seen? The number is 920-264-0606. Got a couple more here. John Travolta. Interesting. He's done some bad movies. Again, I you got to qualify these by saying they're only as good as the material. And the other text says, agree about Sharon Stone. Yeah, I disagree. I think she's great. Anyway, keep those texts coming. Mike Clemens coming up at 9 o'clock. Jimmy Pardo will be here at 9:30. We're going to talk about a new game show he has and his awesome podcast. But joining me now, I'm very excited about this next guest. She is a writer. She writes murder mystery novels from her home in northern Wisconsin. And there's something about northern Wisconsin, I think, that lends itself to this genre. And I want to know why, so I invited her on the show. Please welcome acclaimed author Victoria Houston. Hi, Victoria.
Hi there.
How
nice
are you?
Nice to be here. Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
It's great to have you. And it's a pleasure. So what is it about northern Wisconsin that lends itself to the genre you write?
Well, I'm not sure that that's kind of unfair about blaming northern Wisconsin for it. But I will say, growing up here, I grew up 30 miles away from Eagle River, Wisconsin, sure, which is where Al Capone hung out quite a bit and had owned a nightclub there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My dad used to take his dates there when he was like 18, 19 years old. So
that's great.
Also, other mob folks from the Chicago area spent a lot of time in the Eagle River area. And in fact, Al Capone's brother ended up living to the west over in Mercer, Wisconsin.
Okay.
But I really, my books, which are really about murder, mayhem, and fishing in the North Woods, really stand alone from the mobsters. I don't take any credit for what they did.
You have a great, I started reading Dead Hotshot, and I'm about 60 or 70 pages in. And you made reference to the mob old burnt out cars in the woods. And you said, I think just in your narration, that they're probably old mob cars. That's what got me thinking about that. But tell us about, judging from your website, there's a picture of you holding a huge fish. So you definitely know what you were writing about when it comes to your characters. Can you tell us how you create a good character for a novel?
Well, in my case, my series has three sort of major characters. And early on, for the first 19 books, the point of view is from the 63-year-old retired dentist who's widowed. And then later, in the more recent books, it shifts to the point of view of the sheriff.
Yeah, Lou Ferris.
Lou Ferris. Yeah. She's about 52, and it's going to be her point of view. Well, anyway, the characters really are distilled from memories of mine from when I was growing up. So, well, first of all, let me point out, too, if you're not familiar with this area, this area is really driven by the fishing culture.
Yeah.
And so I grew up, you know, my dad was a dentist, but his words to us, and I'm the oldest of eight kids, he practiced dentistry in order to be able to afford to fish. So
that's great.
I grew up in a household where you got woken up not to see a new gold crown, but to see like a, 52-inch muskie. Or, and then later myself, I took up fly fishing when I returned to the North Woods, which was about 25 years ago. And so fishing sort of it backgrounds the stories. And it's great because if you're, you know, a regular bait fisherman, you know, you're in the boat, you're on the lake, you're going to buy bait from people you've never met before, and you don't know if they sell more than just bait. And then if you're fly fishing, you're going upstream, and it's public property under the water. But the minute you step out of the water, you step onto private land, and you don't know if these are responsible people or people who eat their young. You know, you just got to take your chances. And then, you know, weather can intervene too and cause issues. But going back to the characters, of my main characters, then Doc Osborne, the retired dentist. Okay, my dad was a dentist, my grandfather was a dentist, my uncle was a dentist. And my dad was widowed in his late 50s. My uncle was divorced in his late 50s. And both of them ended up marrying a second time some perfectly awful women. And so his life, you know, is very much colored by realizing what a miserable marriage he had. And now he's interested in Lou Ferris. And Lou Ferris is a very sturdy law enforcement person. And she's had her own series of misfortunes in life, but she's got a great sense of humor. And she's distilled from memories I have of a favorite high school teacher, a woman who is a fanatic fisherman. And this is in the, you know, this is in 1960, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Not a lot of women fished, like, to the degree she did. Also, two girls in my neighborhood who are about 5 years older than me, and they used to beat me up all the time. And so
that's character building.
Well, one of them went on to become the head of a major Midwestern university, and I won't mention which one or I'll get sued.
Do you get along with her now?
My joke is she's still beating people up. And then the third character, Ray Pratt, is a 30-year-old, very attractive fishing guide who tells really bad jokes. And he is distilled from memories from one of my brothers and two of my cousins from when they were in their, you know, late teens, early 20s, and smoking way too much weed and telling bad jokes.
So
that's where those characters come from. The other characters sort of depends on the story. And very often, due to my having worked for many years in newspapers and book publishing before I settled into just writing books, I've known a lot of people. I've done some investigative work, but for 15 years, I was my second former husband, there've only been two, but anyway, he was a investigative reporter who covered a lot of murders. And so I was able to pick up a lot of information, not so much about the murderer or even the victim, but about all the people who work along with the police. Whether they're forensic pathologists, whether they're, you know, people within the office, but really good information that I've been able to use in these books.
Yeah, you definitely, you've done your homework as an author because you know a lot about the characters you write, you know a lot about the setting and the fishing, and you're in such a great area. I used to go up to Three Lakes to my grandma's place from the city of Chicago. Yeah, I spent a lot of time at the Eagle River Movie Theater and Triggs and all these. It's such a beautiful, I have such amazing memories. And Rhinelander was the airport we would use if we had to fly somewhere. So it's kind of just this romantic life you have. Like you get to live in the North Woods and write these cool books. You say you grew up there. You left.
I did.
Yeah, and then you came back. Was that did you go back for family reasons, or did you miss it? What brought you back to the woods, Victoria?
Well, that's a good question, because when I was 18, I could not wait to get out of town.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Rhinelander, this area is so boring, and there's no color. It's just all gray,
yeah.
You know? So I went east to school, and then I got married first time around. We lived in Chicago, married a Harvard Business School guy, and very corporate. And then we moved to Kansas City. And during that time, I began to write. And then I ended up working in the book publishing industry and did a lot of travel, did a lot of work in New York City. And then in my second marriage, moved to the East Coast and worked in the city for 10 years. And so I was sort of coming off of that when my dad died, and I came up to Rhinelander after to kind of help with the estate. And at that point, I had about 20 years into working in publishing and newspapers. And I volunteered to a guy here in the area who had a small publishing house that did books really focused on fishing and that type of thing. I volunteered to do some consulting. And he said, forget consulting. How about full time? And so all of a sudden, 25 years ago, I found myself as an associate editor for this publishing group, Willow Creek Press, which does wonderful books on fly fishing, musky fishing, Labrador retrievers. And today I think they're really focused more on calendars, but they did, you know, very nice books.
Yeah.
And so by working with them, that took me right back into the culture. And that's when I really developed the first mystery in my series. And that was 22 books ago. So
That's really impressive. My guest is Victoria Houston. She is a Wisconsin, one of Wisconsin's very own. She writes mystery novels from her home in northern Wisconsin, which is really cool. We have about 2 minutes to go to a break, and I hope it's a very short break. I'm hoping you can stick with us for a few more minutes after that, Victoria.
Sure,
but in about a minute, can you tell us what book should people start with? If they want to find your books, what book should they start with?
First of all, I write them all so you don't have to read them in order. But okay. I think if you're going to start the series, Dead Angler is a good place to start, or Dead Creek.
Okay.
Dead Creek's the one I wrote first, but Dead Angler was published first. And they can get those at the library. And they'll know in 10 pages if they're going to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's sadly, that sometimes is all people give a book for that kind of chance. But it's interesting because I don't know, you know, my background is screenwriting, and I always find that a book is so overwhelming. Like a screenplay, it's 120 pages. This has to happen by page 30. This has to happen. I like those parameters. Book writing,
right,
to me, I'm so impressed by people who can write a book and sit down and not necessarily know where it's going right away or how to get there. But we're going to talk to you more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a very quick break. And then also, Victoria, I'm going to ask you when we come back, because what we talk about on this show is TV and movies and what people are watching, and we have this open dialogue. So I want to know what novelist Victoria Houston watches when she's done writing her own story. So we'll find that out from Victoria when we come back. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. My guest right now is Victoria Houston, a Wisconsin author who lives in the North Woods and writes mystery novels set in the North Woods. So you've been featured on NPR, Victoria, and in the Wall Street Journal. When did you realize, as a writer, holy smokes, I'm a writer?
Oh, well, first of all, you have to understand I've published 29 books, and so that's 7 books besides the mysteries. And that question would go back to when I was really writing nonfiction.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny. I was doing, at the time I was doing newspaper work, feature writing. And one of the articles I worked on, which was a very difficult one, which was a look at sexual abuse of children, one of the experts that I had worked with on writing that series, stopped by my house one day, this is in Kansas City, and asked me if I'd write a book with her. And she wanted to do a book on latchkey kids. And I said, on one condition, we write a book not for the parents, because I'm a latchkey parent and I don't have time to read. but for the kids. And that led to my first book. And then my second book actually put my 3 children through college. And
wow,
that
nice.
One came out of the fact that I was very embarrassed. Well, first of all, I'm working in book publishing. So I'm working with the Donahue producers to try to get our authors on Donahue. I was working with people like Dear Abby and Irma Bombeck.
I saw that. And Gary Larson. That's pretty
cool.
Yep,
and all the cartoonists, Trudeau, Gary Larson, the guy who did Calvin and Hobbes. We had the top cartoonists.
Oh, man.
And I had gone out of my way to really befriend the producers, and so they'd take my phone calls. And then I kind of shared with them my embarrassment over my second marriage, which was to a guy who was 10 years younger. And so one day I get a call from a producer and she said, you know, Phil is booking Cher on the show. What are some questions he should ask her? Because at the time Cher was like in her 40s dating a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went through everything that had kind of caused me acute embarrassment for the age difference. And remember, this is like 1985. This is before women were as independent as they are. And when we got all done, she said, oh, well, I just scratched Cher. I want you on the show. And that led to me doing a book called Loving a Younger Man, How Women Are Finding and Enjoying a Better Relationship. And there were no murders in that book, trust me. And and the book was a big bestseller. And I was on every talk show in America to the point that my youngest son, who was 11, looked at me and said, "Mom, if you do Geraldo, I'll never speak to you again." So anyway,
or Jerry Springer, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I always tell people as a kid, I mean, from elementary school, I had an aptitude for reading and words. Now, other people had aptitudes for other things. For example, in choir, I was told to just move my lips, you know.
Not I saw that on your website. That's hilarious. Yeah. So singing wasn't your thing.
So anyway, I think as I was doing the freelance newspaper writing, I was finding my way. And then the nonfiction books were fine, but making that transition to writing fiction and writing mysteries, that was a struggle. That took me 5 years.
That's a big difference.
Because you have to go from telling stories to showing stories.
Yeah.
And you said something in our first segment about screenwriting. Well, the best tip I ever got was from a screenwriter. And she was a friend of one of my sisters who was out in LA. And she looked at one of my early drafts and she said, you've got to make your mind up and do one thing. She said, give yourself a very short time frame in which the story occurs. And I'm telling a secret now, but all my stories happen within 6 days.
Oh, wow. So that lends itself to film writing, though, too. They love that clock, that kind of ticking clock.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Well, it gives you momentum.
Yeah. That's great. Victoria, know. So my guest is Victoria Houston. We just have about a minute left, and I have so much more to ask you, but I'll do my best here.
we'll do it again sometime.
I hope so. Yeah, this has been really fun. So with about a minute to go, have you seen any cases around where you live that mirror the stories you were writing about? And if so, do you have an alibi?
The answer is no.
Okay, good.
But there's another thing. I refuse in my books to have anything pertinent to anything that happens here. Now, I will tell you, when I was a kid growing up, there were two very grisly murders here in Rhinelander. And I wouldn't touch a detail of those for anything.
Yeah.
For the simple reason, you could really hurt the feelings of some family members.
Yeah.
People associated with people who were killed.
Oh, especially in a small community like that where you don't want to go
definitely.
There.
Definitely. Yeah. So my murders are all they take place with strangers.
Yeah. That's great. Victoria, thank you so much for your time tonight. This has been fun. Like you said, we'll have to do it again. We'll have you back soon, I hope. And appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Have a great night. Thanks. That's Victoria Houston. She said Dead Creek, I think, was the book that she recommended starting with, but also that you could read any of her books, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to pick up one. It's not a series that's sequential necessarily. So Victoria Jackson, look for her books. I'm reading Dead Hotshot right now myself. I'm on page 70, and I'm very, very much enjoying it. So lots of fun to talk to her. Okay, when I come back, Mike Clemens is here, and he's going to tell us some really cool stuff like he always does. Then at 9:30, Jimmy Pardo joins me. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can't get no rest. Don't know how I work all day. When will I learn? Memories get in the way. I walk around. I can't hear a sound. Folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.